The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to the Big Blue View podcast. I am Dan Pizzuta, joined by Chris Flum. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, but you know, I kind of feel like this should be kind of the return of the Big Blue Big Board.
Yeah, so I kind of debated whether I was going to say that or not, and we are in the middle of July, but somehow it's draft season again.
It's always draft season.
Yeah, apparently, but we're not looking toward 2020 yet, thank God. We have some time before that happens. But we are now going to talk about the 2019 supplemental draft. For those of you who are unaware, the supplemental draft happens in the middle of the summer. For some guys who either weren't eligible for the draft at the time, or for a lot of scenarios, there's just guys that are figuring they don't want to go back to school, or for some reasons maybe aren't eligible for one reason or another to play for this coming season, so they can declare for the supplemental draft. I think Giants fans are going to be very aware of this because they use a third round pick on Sam Beal last year, and of course Beal sat out for all of 2018 because of a shoulder injury, but he will be back on the field this year, part of that very young secondary. So we have, I think there's about five players eligible for the supplemental draft, but I think we're going to go over the two big ones and the two most likely to be drafted overall. And that is going to be Marcus Sims, the wide receiver from West Virginia, and Jalen Thompson, the safety from Washington State. So Chris, up on Big Blue View, you have written prospect profiles about both of these guys. Why don't we start with Marcus Sims, and why don't you bring us through what you found out from him?
Right, so one of the things we've both talked about repeatedly over the summer is just how much the Giants need a third wide receiver and a viable deep threat for their offense. Pretty much right now, their offense is going to be 10 yards or less. Unless somebody like Evan Engram or Saquon Barkley forces a missed tackle and turns a short catch into a long gain. But just to keep defenses from playing eight in the box and just suffocating the run game, they need a deep threat. And that's pretty much what Marcus Sims brings. He wasn't targeted a whole lot in the West Virginia offense, which, granted, had a fair amount of receivers for Will Grier. I believe he only had 81 catches the last 2 years, 35 in 2017, 46 in 2018. But what he did for the West Virginia offense was stretch the field. He was a guy, he had good speed and could get downfield and win on vertical routes. He averaged 18.9 yards per catch in 2017, 15.2 in 2018, and he just has the ability to beat defensive backs deep, either with good cutting in his routes or just being able to run past them. I believe he was clocked anywhere anywhere in the low to mid 4.4s by the scouts at his pro day. Which, not blazing, but still, with good route running, that's fast enough. And that's basically who he was for West Virginia, in addition to also being a kick and punt returner of good but not great ability.
Yeah, so he is a super interesting case. He's one of those guys that is labeled as the deep threat, but when you look at really what he did at West Virginia, the numbers don't completely translate there. So if you guys remember, or if you have been listening through our draft shows, I put together a stat called target yards added for wide receivers. It basically takes a wide receiver's production and isolates it from the quarterback and the offensive performance to see what a receiver adds to an offense. So this season at West Virginia, Marcus Sims had 66 targets that went for 699 yards. That's 10.59 yards per target. That's decent. And that was 1.09 target yards added. So we did add a bit to the West Virginia offense, but that target yards added is well below the average of what this past draft class would have been, which was 2.09. That 1.09 would have been 25th in this draft class. That's behind Jalen Hurd and Terry Godwin. His 16.2% target share would be one of the lowest of this group. So he was the clear number three option in the Mountaineers offense last year. That was behind David Sills, who I didn't like, and target yards added did not like. He was negative. That was also behind Gary Jennings, who I did like quite a bit, and target yards added liked quite a bit at 3.32. And Jennings was also a guy who could win deep. He got that also, but he was also kind of a screen guy who could take the ball after the catch. And Jennings was the number two receiver in that West Virginia offense, and he only went in the fifth round. So if Jennings was only worth a fifth round pick in the actual 2019 draft, I can't see Sims being worth that. And so if you're going to spend maybe a seventh, and fine, maybe it's worth the flyer, but I kind of think there might be a team who's probably more likely to jump ahead of him. And if you're going to be using a flyer like that, you might just be better off waiting to see who gets cut during training camp and trying to figure out and find maybe an undervalued wide receiver somewhere around during that area too.
Yeah, and that's really how I would look at Sims. Like, if you like what he does and you just like him on the field, put in seventh round or maybe even a sixth if you really like him, and maybe you get him. If not, see who is going to be available eventually.
Yeah, I think even just by looking at the wide receivers who were available in this past draft class and where Sims goes and where those guys were drafted, and I don't even know if I'd put a seventh on him, because also when we talk about the deep threats that the Giants need, they did spend a draft pick on one of those, and that was Darius Slayton, who came out pretty favorably in target yards added, 2.73, which was pretty good. That was 13th in this draft class. He's someone who has the ability to win deep. Yeah, that was the book on him. Of course, his hands may be an issue. They were an issue early in minicamp and then got better as the offseason has gone on, so we'll see what he looks like in training camp. But I think you kind of already use a draft pick on that role, so I'm not totally sure it's worth using another one on a guy who's probably not as good as Slayton is anyway.
Yeah, and that is the issue for the Giants in particular. They did spend that draft pick. They already do have a lot of bodies at wide receiver, so it could be hard or would be hard to justify using any draft pick on a guy who is basically a flyer. But if they're going to go for a potential volume solution for filling out the depth chart behind Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate, it's a move I could either take or leave. If they don't put in a bid on him, I would understand completely. If they did, I would understand and maybe be a little bit intrigued.
Right. To me, I think there's two things at play here. One, there's no one on the Giants roster that should stop you from trying to upgrade. I don't think anyone outside of the top two guys is worth that. If there's someone you believe is going to be an upgrade, then make that move. I just don't really feel like Sims is that type of player that's going to warrant bringing him in now and thinking he's going to be an upgrade. I think you're probably better off going with the group you have now and then possibly waiting to see who is available throughout the rest of the summer. If anyone comes in, then you're probably even using fewer resources on one of those guys, and they could be just as good, if not better, than Sims. I just don't think Sims is the quality of player that's really going to change the dynamic of the wide receiver group, so I just don't think it's worth that investment.
Yeah, and that's probably how it's going to be.
Yeah, and that makes sense, and that's fine. Not everyone has to be drafted, and just because a guy is available does not mean there needs to be a pick spent on him.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So the guy who is more likely to be drafted higher is Jalen Thompson, the safety out of Washington State. Chris, what can you tell us about Thompson?
There is, I think, a little bit of a tendency to want to look at Thompson in the same light as Sam Beal. But Thompson is much more of a known commodity than Sam Beal was coming out of Western Michigan. He's generally regarded as one of the better, if not one of the best, defensive backs in the Pac-12. And if he hadn't lost his eligibility for his senior year, he probably would have set a Washington State record for games and snaps played. He's been a starter since he was a true freshman. So he has a lot of experience, and he has been a durable and pretty reliable player for Washington State. He's a little bit of an interesting player to watch on tape because they used him kind of almost as a rover. They would use him, depending on the package, as either a nickel corner, occasionally an outside corner, or a lot more often as a free or strong safety. Personally, I don't like him as any kind of cornerback. I don't think he has the feet and hips to be a corner in the NFL. He does have decent short area quickness. Like, he can close on a ball very well, but his back pedal is just kind of high and stabby. He can't get his hips down. He can't really open them up well to turn and run. Just those things you need to be able to do as a corner, I don't really see that from him. However, I do not hate him as a free safety. The thing that probably stood out to me the most of watching him on tape was his ability to quickly process information, to read, diagnose, and react to an offense and a quarterback's decision, and do it very, very quickly. So he doesn't have great long speed, but that processing speed really allows him to play faster than he is going to time. And for the Giants in particular, you know, while I don't think there could be any argument that Antoine Bethea is a massive upgrade over Curtis Riley, even if Father Time catches up with him this year, he's still a massive upgrade over Curtis Riley. But the fact remains that eventually Father Time is going to catch Bethea. So for me and for the Giants, I think it would be a good move to at least take a close look at Thompson just to potentially have a free safety of the future who could potentially learn from Bethea over a rookie year, you know, kind of like they had hoped to have with Sam Beal, except he needed shoulder surgery.
Yeah, one thing that you mentioned kind of just in his long speed and processing speed and just speed overall is we don't get full athletic profiles on these guys, which is a bummer. The NFL teams are going to have more information than we do, but we're not going to have full athletic profiles. So we don't really know how well that speed is going to translate and whether the short speed works or the long speed really is a concern. We're not going to have actual metrics on that, which does hinder some of our evaluation, at least mine, which is something, especially for defensive backs, the athletic testing and spark and those things is something I would rely on quite a bit because I think those are helpful, especially at defensive back. What we do get with Thompson, though, is we still get some of his coverage metrics for Sports Info Solutions. So this past season, 50 targets, which is a lot for his safety, but he did move around a little bit. Only 19 completions, which is a 38% completion percentage, which was that's quite good. Two interceptions, 8 passes defensed, 4.62 yards per target, which is also very good. So in coverage, I think he can hold up. So he does have that ability. You like you said, you would want him to play a little deeper. He's not someone who's going to really play in the box. I think you mentioned this in your write-up, and it's backed up when you watch him and when you look at some of his numbers. He's not someone who was asked to blitz a lot. He's not someone who's going to spend a lot of time behind the line of scrimmage. Last year, he only had one pressure. Was it for all of 2018. So he does spend most of his time in the defensive backfield. You know, if you put him on the Giants, a team that's probably going to want to blitz quite a bit, you're going to have Jabril Peppers, who is a safety, who's probably going to blitz quite a bit and has done that the past couple years, probably going to do that with James Betcher this year. We'll see whether Peppers would completely take over that role or is going to be mixing and matching with bringing a whole bunch of players from the secondary, which could also be the case. Thompson really isn't going to fit that mold, so maybe he's not a scheme fit in that area. So what you get is a guy who decent in coverage. He's decent downhill, just not going to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, which is something you would kind of like to see. And then my question is kind of like with Sims is where you're going to value that type of guy. I've seen some people are as high as like the third round on him, but if like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is only going in the third round of the 2019 draft, I'm not using a third on Jalen Thompson. Is a fifth going to do it? I'm not sure. Maybe you also like Sims if you're waiting to see who gets cut during like training camps and in the rest of the offseason. There's a potential of even some younger or veteran safeties who can be available. Maybe use a fifth round pick to trade. And I still think that is one of the biggest market inefficiencies is using those picks to trade for proven veteran players. Maybe someone just falls out of favor, isn't exactly a fit on a new scheme, and that starts to become apparent in training camp and something that teams weren't prepared for at the beginning of the offseason. That happens every year. So I think with this too, I think I'd rather find a different avenue of looking for a safety if you do need that. And the Giants, they really have the two main safeties in Bethea and Peppers, who are going to play two very distinct roles, probably with Bethea being the deep safety, but they do have all of those young cornerbacks. And we know Grant Haley played the slot, but he might not be the starter this year, so maybe he plays a little more safety. You know, Jordan Love is probably going to play between the slot and safety. So I think there's also potential answers on the roster now that you probably don't need to use one of those picks to bring that type of player in.
Yeah, I do think you also have to look ahead at what the potential draft class, at least what you think it will look like in 2020, because that's the pick you'll be using. So kind of like how the Giants viewed the cornerback position, if they view Thompson as, say, a third or a second and third round talent, and they're not sure there's just that without him, there's going to be that many great safeties. Although, just a quick word ahead, if you like safety play, watch LSU this year. I'm just saying. Grant Delpit is probably going to be a top 10 pick when he comes out, maybe even top 5. He's going to be mentioned in the same breath as Eric Berry coming out. His range and ability on the back end to diagnose plays is kind of ridiculous. But that's an aside and doesn't have a whole lot to do with Jalen Thompson other than the fact that there's the top of the class right there. So if the Giants think that maybe this is their best chance to get a good value, then I could see them putting in maybe even a little bit higher pick than we could see right now.
Yeah, and we already know that Dave Gettleman is not scared off of the supplemental draft. He used a pick last year, so he's not someone who is going to just say that that draft investment is not worth it like some other teams might. So Tony Pauline has said that 26 teams were at Thompson's pro day. You know, we don't know exactly who those 26 teams were or the teams who were not there. So reported 35 and a half inches in the vertical, 10 feet 4 inch broad jump, which is decent. Initial 40 time at 4.47, and second one at 4.56. So there is quite a difference there, and those times are hand timed and unofficial. Thompson meeting with the Packers, and other teams who have lined up interviews are the Patriots, Rams, Dolphins, Colts, and Cardinals. So we'll see. Pauline says Thompson's viewed as a fourth round prospect. He was viewed as a fourth round prospect during the spring and is expected to be drafted somewhere in the later rounds. So we'll see. I mean, if you do believe he is a fourth round pick and you want to just throw out a six there, then maybe that is worth it. I could see that being an option, and we'll see. Dave Gettleman has believed if the value is there, he will go for it. They said they viewed Beal as potentially a second round pick in this past year's draft class. I'm not sure if I completely believe that. Maybe he would have been the third that they used, but they did use the third on him this year. So if you think he's a fourth and you want to use a sixth, then you probably can't argue with that.
No, definitely not. Yeah, the success rate of those late round picks is so low that if you feel like you can get a good value and you can get a player who is likely to contribute, especially if they're not planning on using Jabril Peppers as a real safety, because he did mention that he's going to be playing a lot of roles, and he was really at his most effective at Cleveland playing a pseudo linebacker role, which we also know is a role in James Betcher's defense. So the Giants could be looking at using Bethea maybe down as more of a strong safety, like he played at Arizona last year when he had a really good year, in which case they would need a full-time free safety. Now they've talked about potentially trying Julian Love at safety. I would rather he stay at cornerback, where we have seen him to be really, really good. I'd like to see them try Corey Ballantyne at safety, just because he reminds me of Bennett Jackson. But he's also got to make a serious jump to go from Washburn up to the NFL. So maybe having a safety who is used to playing safety but does have that kind of cornerback skill set that they obviously like, maybe that could be appealing to them.
Yeah, and honestly, who knows at this point, because we've seen the Giants are, again, not scared of this supplemental draft, not scared of taking on a crap load of defensive backs. Drafted three of them, four of them?
I'll say four, because Sam Beal really should count as a 2019 draft pick, even though they made it back in 2018.
Right, so three and Sam Beal. So obviously they believe that is a position of need, We don't disagree with them. Clearly, that was a position of need last year. And as you look going forward, it's going to continue to be a position of need because Janoris Jenkins probably not going to be on the roster for very long, even if he gets through all of 2019. Antoine Bethea, for as much as I have praised him and I liked that signing, again, he is 35 years old. So the length of time he can be an above average contributor is still unknown. So there is going to be time there. So if you feel like this guy is going to be a value and you can get him a year earlier than you possibly would and maybe start that process, then maybe do it. But if you're going out like with a sixth round pick, it's possible that a lot of other teams are going to be doing that. So the potential of getting him might be lower, but you also don't want that to make you try to overdraft him and use a fifth or fourth, because then you're just starting to give away some draft value that can probably be used better somewhere else and down the line.
Yeah, and that's just the gamble of the supplemental draft. It's a blind auction. You don't know what anyone else is putting in, if anyone else is putting in a bid on that player. So you just have to evaluate him, value him, and if you like him, hope that nobody else likes him more.
Yeah, that's an important piece here that we should explain. The supplemental draft is basically kind of like a waiver system where you put in what round you are willing to select the given player, if any round, and then within that round, the teams are ranked by record. So the Giants, because they were quite bad last year, would still be high up in that order. So we'll see. But yeah, it's not like a thing where everyone is on the clock and they either pick or pass. It's teams give the round they're willing to pick, and if they are first up in line, then they get the player. So that is how the supplemental draft goes, and that'll be the process. It just kind of happens. It's not televised. You just find out after it happens, and the supplemental draft is scheduled to be Wednesday of this week, so we will know quite soon who picked who, if the Giants were interested in anyone or not. So that is basically the football news this week, and it's just going to be whether two players are picked or not, and all that comes out is a press release. So we will see. And though on that note, we're going to end this episode here. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review if you have not. Those are continually helping us, getting seen during the off season and training camps just around the corner. So content going to be picking up very soon. You can follow our work on bigblueview.com. If you have not read Chris's profiles on both Sims and Thompson, they are up on bigblueview.com right now. You can follow Big Blue View on Twitter at Big Blue View. You can follow Big Blue View on Instagram at big_blue_view. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. You can follow Chris on Twitter at RaptorMKII. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.